Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you. Hello. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but throughout the world, but also to welcome to the show this week four dynamic, talented, humorous players of this game who are going to show their wits and their repartee and their way with words, their verbal dexterity and ingenuity as they try and speak on the subject that I give them, and they try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And those four are, seated on my right, Paul Merton and Lisa Tarbuck, and seated on my left, Sue Perkins and Graham Norton. Please welcome all four of them. Beside me sits Sarah Sharp, who's going to help me keep the score and blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular Just a Minute is coming from the Radio Theatre in the heart of Broadcasting House, and we have an awestruck audience here. Come in from the cold in order to get warm, and we're going to try and warm them up as we begin the show with Sue Perkins. Who better? And the subject I have in front of me, Sue, is what I see in the mirror. You have 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Youthful, beautiful, creamy skin. At least it appears that way now I've chosen not to wear my glasses when I look in the mirror. Were I to put on my lunette, I would see a craggy visage. A strange, baggy-eyed thing, but nonetheless one that I'm quite pleased with and familiar over the years, not for me.
Graham Norton challenge.
I thought I should just sort of interrupt and contradict. You seem polite. Other than just let her kind of, you know, slag herself off. We're all going, yeah, that's right, yeah. Vile old head. Yeah, that's what you see, OK. I just thought it was the gentlemanly thing to do.
You are a gentleman.
Well, what I'll do is I'll give you a bonus point for your interruption and your gentlemanly gesture. But Sue gets a point because she was interrupted. Mm. What I see in the mirror, and there are 43 seconds still available, Sue, starting now.
I can see a big frown line, which I like because this great crag in my face represents all the times I've had a thought. Three, to be precise. Mainly, I consign myself to speaking, and when I'm talking, I find I don't have to use my cranium in any way, shape or form. It's better that way, just an endless discharge. I am deviating. I meant...
Graham, you challenge.
That there was a hesitation.
That was a hesitation, yes. So, Graham, you have the subject. There are 21 seconds available. What I see in the mirror, starting now.
What I see when I look in the mirror depends on the mirror, lighting, but most of all, how much I've had to drink. That's why I like to down half a pint of vodka before I even brush my teeth. And in that way, I can...
Lisa Janet.
There was a definite in that way. A hesitation.
No, I don't think so. I think it's just the way Graham speaks. I think it's a sort of idiosyncratic.
I've built in a lot of hesitation.
With a yin and yang of speaking.
And he hasn't, hasn't had that half bottle of vodka before we started. I know, because I was with him. So, no, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt, Graham, which I do on occasions. And what I see in the mirror, Graham, 4 seconds still available, starting now.
What I see in the mirror rarely delights me, and yet I struggle on.
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Graham Norton, and he's in a commanding lead ahead of all the others at the end of that round. And, Graham, it's also your turn to begin. So would you take now the subject of my ruthless streak? I can't believe you have one, but try and speak on the subject. 60 seconds, starting now.
My ruthless streak is rarely exposed in public, and yet I cannot hide it when I am playing the game of Just a Minute. Like a big-eared hawk, I sit on my tweedy chair, listening out.
So challenged.
Deviation in that big-eared hawks don't like tweedy chairs. They prefer, usually, I'd say, a sort of wooded habitat. A branch will suffice. Mm-hmm. Rarely are they
it
in radio theatres.
It was like a big-eared.
He was trying to create an image, and it could have been a fantastical image, which he was doing, and I don't think technically he was deviating with the rules of Just a Minute. He was going into the realms of fantasy, which we allow on occasion, Sue.
Yes.
So we give him the benefit of the doubt.
Nicholas.
And it's my ruthless streak, still with you, and 43 seconds available starting now.
Part of my ruthless streak is pretending to love Nicholas Parsons and agree with everything he says. In this manner, I get the benefit of the doubt. Oh, those three words delight me. And my little ruthless streak...
Paul Challenge.
Have we moved on to the benefit of the doubt now rather than my ruthless streak?
Well, I think he established that
Nicholas,
my ruthless
streak... Nicholas, think carefully. I know you'll get the right answer in the end.
And
this benefit of the doubt concept you speak of sounds quite interesting. How would that work exactly?
He said my benefit of the doubt was his ruthless streak.
Oh, okay.
So he was going on and illustrating his ruthless streak, associating it with the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
But
we're not getting any of it, basically. Yeah, yeah.
No, but you'll get a benefit of the doubt later on. I'll find one for you. Yes, yeah. Right. Yes.
He's bandying this round willy nilly. I've seen none of it.
29 seconds, Graham. My ruthless streak starting now.
My ruthless streak has struck again, ladies and gentlemen, and so I speak with 29, probably fewer seconds left in this minute of the game. My ruthless streak...
Sue Chan.
Repetition of minute. Just a minute and minute.
Oh, yes, you're talking about just a minute. Oh, yes. So, Sue, you listen well. You got in there with 19 seconds on my ruthless streak starting now.
Once at a rugby match, I stripped to nothing and ran across the pitch. It was a ruthless streak. Nonetheless, people enjoyed it. There were simply not enough policemen's helmets to cover my embarrassment and everyone else's. I don't remember the game, England versus Australia, possibly. The audience will have remembered it, if only for my pink buttocks disappearing into...
Well, on this occasion, it was Sue Perkins speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and Chansey has moved up, still in second place behind Graham Norton. And the other two have actually looked at a score, which is unusual, but doesn't matter. That's the way it goes on this occasion.
You might get the benefit of the doubt in a minute.
Yeah. Lisa, would you begin the next round? The subject is why radio is better than TV. You can... No, you can't say television. They've got TV on the card.
No,
I prefer
TV,
television.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm, yeah. Yeah.
I don't want that, then.
Got anything else?
She don't like it.
Do you want me to change it to television?
Yes, change it to television.
Change it to television. Yeah. It sounds better, doesn't
it? Because it takes longer.
Yeah. It does the way you say it.
So, Lisa,
I can fill a minute with television.
Why radio is better than television, and the 60 seconds starting now.
Radio is a wonderful medium because it's so enabling. I find that I'm at home doing a jigsaw or some craft work, maybe drawing, cooking, drinking, ironing perhaps, cleaning my windows, putting a little bit of cream stuff on a toothbrush and getting right into the skirting board in the bathroom, fitting a new toilet seat.
Well done.
This is a great litany of great accomplishment in the world of DIY, but I can't help feel we strayed from the subject of radio is better than television. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you see what I'm saying, Nicholas?
I do know what you're saying.
Yes, you get the benefit of the doubt.
You have definitely have the benefit of the doubt because she had deviated from why radio is better to going down to her...
I think the word enabling made all of that list make sense.
Yeah, it did, yeah.
But you didn't explain why you couldn't do all your DIY while watching television.
No, you...
I was getting to that. That's the problem, you see.
Have you tried squirting cream stuff onto a toothbrush when there's, I don't know, Emmerdale on? It's really distracting.
It's hard work, isn't it?
Fine, okay, though. I see that my benefit of the doubt seems to have got lost in the post.
Would you like to make an appeal to anyone who may have seen it in the streets? Take it home, give it a saucer of milk and phone Lisa.
No, definitely, Paul, you deserve the benefit of the doubt on that one because she was giving us a list of her domestic chores.
Exactly.
And not why radio is definitely better than television.
I'm furious now.
But you won't be furious when you get your benefit
she
of the doubt.
She goes green when she's angry.
She matches her dress, which is also green. I mention that because we've got listeners. And
now, that's not what my
age. We did about 15 minutes ago.
Paul Merton.
You're watching the telly.
All right, give Lisa a bonus point for what she just said. Yes. But the subject's with Paul, why radio is better than television, Paul, 38 seconds starting now.
It is a more immediate medium. There's not much between you and the audience. A simple microphone. There you are, people sitting in front of us watching the show. On television, of course, there are cameras and makeup and rehearsals and various bits and pieces that go into that extravaganza of a medium which I somehow feel that radio surpasses, because in the end, radio is a thing of the imagination. Space, science fiction stories take on an air of realism on the radio. We hear the sounds of asteroids thudding into the surface of the moon, and it doesn't take much thought to think to ourselves that I could have been an astronaut if only I'd got O-level.
Well, Paul kept going magnificently and gave us huge value for many seconds, but he only gets one extra point for speaking as the whistle went. But that's the irony of this game. And Graham Norton's still in the lead, then Sue Perkins, then Paul Merton, then Lisa Tarbuck. Right, Paul, the subject now is out of order. Will you start that round starting now?
Of course, the very concept of out of order is something you hear from the Cockney street man in the middle of the road. He will shout out such things as, "Oh, say, that's out of order."
Yeah.
Am I the only one now who's thinking of Dick Van Dyke?
Yeah, that was the a South African Cockney.
No, that was a Cockney from the 1880s. That was a very traditional Cockney.
Well, yeah.
Oh, but it was also hesitation, wasn't it?
Oh, it was that.
So, no, Sue, we did understand what he was trying to do, but I don't think he quite achieved it. Right, 49 seconds, Sue, on out of order, starting now.
The Cockney phrase out of order must be prefixed with the word bang. That's the way it should be spoken. And it doesn't matter what situation you're in, something will be out of order. You could have simply said the wrong thing, put your foot in it one way or the other. The crafty Cockney is perfectly illustrated by...
Decent challenge.
Cockney, yeah.
You had a Cockney there. Yes. Too many
Cockneys. It was, well, I mean, you can never have too many Cockneys, to be fair. In the back of the van.
Sometimes you can.
In this game. And yet, technically, yes, it's possible you can.
Let's have a bit of a party.
You're bang out of order.
You're big out of order, you know.
So, Lisa, you had a correct challenge. 32 seconds, out of order, starting now.
The sadness of seeing a paper clipped to a door.
Sue challenge.
I thought there was hesitation, but there wasn't.
That's a slight benefit of the doubt my way, because I get a point.
Yes.
Happy as Larry.
Do you want me to keep crossing in?
Yeah.
How many times do you want to cross in?
Me I'll go like that at you.
All right, do it. You're going to give me a special wink?
Oh, listen, right.
The sisterhood cannot outdo the rules.
You say that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, what are you saying, patriarch?
Daddy-o.
Yeah. You cockocrat.
That's bang out of order. Right. So, Lisa, an incorrect challenge. You have a point for that. You keep the subject. 29 seconds. Out of order, starting now.
Out of order, sellotape to a cistern, is an indication of human frailty. Not only is the toilet not working, but the person who's in charge of said receptacle knows that help's on its way. It just hasn't happened yet. I find nothing more upsetting than going into Watford Gap, trying to get into a cubicle because I've only stopped for a whittle, and then to receive... Oh, I was
Graham,
really perspiring then.
It was just... Is that a form of busking? Do you get out of your car and wiggle for money? What?
Only a Watford Gap, I think. Yeah, really. The Watford Gap wiggle. Do we in the Watford Gap wiggle? Hey!
We all use different words for going to the loo and so forth.
Yes,
we all do use different words, but no one uses that one.
I knew what she meant. She might call it a wiggle. You might call it a wiggle. She calls it a wiggle.
Yeah. Okay.
In my mind.
Hello, he's in the box marked benefit of the doubt.
That's quite right, Lisa.
Hello.
You saw it coming. The other time was a legitimately 1 point. Yeah. This time, it's a benefit of the doubt.
Yay!
Another point to you. And keep going, girl, because you've only got 5 seconds to go on Out of Order, starting now.
The last time I saw a sign saying Out of Order.
Paul Chalice.
I think we've seen a sign before.
Oh!
Have you seen a sign?
Yeah, it has.
right at the beginning, you said she said about this loo was out of order and they didn't come and put it right.
Yeah. This game is tough, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Paul, a correct challenge. 2 seconds. Out of order, starting now.
Oi, Archbishop, you're out of order!
So Paul Merton was then speaking as the whistle went. He's equal with Lisa Tarbuck and Sue Perkins in second place behind Graham Norton, who is 2 points ahead. Sue, it's with you to begin, and the subject is the Parks of London. Tell us something about those wonderful green places in this game, starting now.
The parks in autumn, slushing through the leaves with the thin sunlight bearing down on you, is simply the best place in the world to get dog doodle trapped in soul's Where else could one see 60 Staffordshire bull terriers voiding their bowels?
Paul Chandler.
Staffordshire?
Hmm?
Where else can you see 60 Staffordshire?
So what's your challenge?
Well, deviation. I've just pointed out there's other places.
Now, a Staffordshire bull terrier is a breed.
Yes.
So she wasn't deviating.
No, but I interrupted at a good time, though.
Yeah.
If you to try and get a point, any time's a good time to, to interrupt. Mm, but, but it was an incorrect challenge, Paul. Yes, fair enough. So, I mean, you could have had her for all those number of bull terriers, Staffordshire bull terriers, but I don't think you'd ever sign all that number in a park in London any time. Yeah. All at once, yeah. At the same time.
Yes.
And going on.
They're breeding like flies down there.
Anyway, Sue, an incorrect challenge. The Parks of London is still with you, and there are 44 seconds starting now.
One of the royal parks is staging a winter wonderland. This effectively means a Tyrolean Christmas fair, where one can purchase an enormous bratwurst to surprise Grandma with during the festive season. How she'll laugh when the customary turkey gets replaced by this cumbersome log all the way from Bavaria. How I love to march through all the beautiful stalls they have there. It's a great way...
Graham challenge.
I feel we've wandered off the lovely parks of London and we're now in a some sort of tacky theme thing. I don't want to spend time there.
That doesn't matter. She has wandered away from the parks of London and gone into sort of some winter wonderland.
There is a winter wonderland.
She's deviated horribly, hasn't she, Nicholas?
Not horribly.
There is a winter wonderland in Hyde Park.
I know there's a winter wonderland.
But it's a park.
But you're describing the winter wonderland and not the park.
But it is in the park.
Yeah.
That's like saying, if you ask me to talk about me and I talk about my liver, it's deviation, but the liver is in me. For now.
No, but equally, we'd be very disappointed if you just spoke about your liver. if we wanted to talk about you, and so I feel that I'm bogged down in the winter wonderland.
I'd distract her.
I quite agree with Graham. You have the benefit of the doubt on this one, right?
Yeah.
So Graham, you have the subject, and you have 18 seconds. The parks of London, starting now.
I believe the parks of London are some of the greatest assets this capital has, and we must treasure them and look after them. I say that, although I do allow my dogs to do what you mentioned earlier in them quite a bit. But that is one of my biggest pleasures, is watching...
Paul Chandler.
Thank God! That's deviant.
I don't think I've ever been saddened by any... touched me, the fact that this is one of the greatest pleasures that Graham has, watching his dog defecate in the park.
He's really changed.
You can see... Yes. It's true, you can see beauty in anything. But I think it's not one of his greatest pleasures, is it?
I've misrepresented myself there.
I think you have, but on the other hand, if you have to walk your doggy and you know he has to do his dues, it, you know, it might give you great pleasure to watch him doing...
No, in fairness, Nicholas, it doesn't give me great pleasure watching
it. It sounded like the ex-Welsh secretary, then.
All right.
Though, on a sidebar, can I just add, I do sometimes photograph them if they're very good.
I can sort of see it.
I've got one on my phone.
He's now, I must tell our listeners, he's now brought out his mobile phone to show us all his dog juice. Paul, I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt, and you've got him with 1 second to go.
Oh.
Oh-ho. Yes. Starting now.
The park!
So, So Paul Merton was speaking as a whistle. Wen gained that extra point. He's now 1 point behind Anita Graham Norton, who actually, it's his turn to begin the next round. And this, oh, Graham, lovely one. My skincare routine. Will you tell us something about that in this game? 60 seconds starting now.
My skincare routine has three main components. Firstly, it is extremely time-consuming. It is very expensive, but most of all, completely useless. How much worse could I look if I hadn't cleansed, exfoliated, and moisturized for the many years?
You know what? I'm doing the gentlemanly thing. Because you did it for Sue at the beginning, and I think I should step up. You look beautiful.
Yeah,
you
are. Can I just say, I believe I interrupted Sue a little quicker.
Lisa, a correct challenge for hesitation. You have the subject of my skincare routine. 35 seconds available, starting now.
My skincare routine is elaborate. First of all, I have to melt down some wax candles and add a bit of paraffin, then lie down and ask the dog to dribble it all over my face and use a paintbrush to get into all the nooks and crannies.
So challenged.
Does your dog know how to use a paintbrush?
Yes.
No opposable thumb, and that's skill, and I'd like to commend you.
I gaffer tape it to his tail.
Of course.
What was your challenge when the rules have just
been? Deviation.
From what?
Just from the sense of dogs being able to hold paintbrushes. from a canine.
Yes, I mean, I've given Lisa a benefit of the doubt. I give it to you because I don't believe you could do that, Lisa, with your dog.
I've seen what she can do with that animal. It's quite breathtaking.
I'm finding you very narrow-minded tonight, Nicholas.
Sue, correct challenge. My skincare routine. 20 seconds, starting now.
Once the cement mixer has been switched on, I may begin. First, the undercoat, sealed by sandpapering the rough folds. Then comes the top coat, with a repeated coat. Let's say it again, coat.
Yeah. Four challenge.
Two coats.
Two coats.
It takes two coats
at
my age.
It does take two coats.
And this time she very kindly told you, but Paul, you got in there first. 8 seconds, my skincare routine starting now.
My skincare routine is a much guarded secret. People stop me in the street and they say, do tell us what your...
So Paul Merton was speaking as a whistle. Wen gained that extra point. He's 1 point ahead of Graham Norton, 1 point ahead of Sue Perkins, and then she's 1 point ahead of Lisa Tarbuck. It's one separating them all in descending order. And Lisa, we'd like you to start the next round. The subject is The Angel of the North. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
There's a woman called Shirley Mangan who lives in Egberth in Liverpool, who's known by the sailors of the Liverpool area... See, I relaxed.
Yes.
Egypt.
No. Repetition of Liverpool.
There was too many Liverpools there. Yes. 53 seconds available, Paul. The Angel of the North, starting now.
The Angel of the North, constructed, designed, certainly by Anthony Gormley, is there brilliantly as you head towards the north-east of England, and it stands as a magnificent structure of boldness, honesty. There is something about it that says, I am a huge bit of metal. And that's what you have to recognise as a major achievement. Public art that the actual people in the area look at and say, this is an inspiring monument. They sometimes come up to it in the middle of the night and genuflect in its shadow, although it must be by the moon because the sun would be gone down by then. Oh, yes, and many folklore and songs are sung in the very presence of this incredible thrusting edifice. They gather by Christmas Day and sometimes by Easter, little goblets of human beings encased in tiny glass jars. Sing song!
So Paul Merton magnificently kept going till the whistle wended over about 40 or 50 seconds, I've forgotten which, and let me give you the situation. It's very, very close, actually. Lisa Tarbuck and Sue Perkins are almost equal in third place. They're just behind Graham Norton, who's in second place. Paul Merton is just in the lead as we go into the final round. And, Paul, it's actually your turn to begin. And what a lovely subject to finish the show on. Broadcasting House. Oh, tell us something about Broadcasting House in this game, starting now.
This episode of Just a Minute is being recorded here in Broadcasting House, and the very room that we are in is indeed a space that has great historical antecedents. It was just after the Second World War that a radio show called ITMAR was broadcast from this very extension that we have of this building. The King and Queen of England attended it, and it was considered a magnificent occasion. Broadcasting House was built...
Sue Challenge.
Is that a repetition of occasion?
Could be.
Yes, it was. More than one occasion. When they came here for ITMAR. Sue, you've got in with 35 seconds. Tell us something about Broadcasting House, starting now.
It is an extraordinary structure, an Art Deco edifice that speaks volumes. Within it, sometimes people speak eloquently for up to a minute.
Paul Challenge.
No, my mistake. It was speak and speaks. Sorry.
Yes, that's right. Speaks. Yep. So the incorrect challenge.
Yep.
So not only get the benefit of the doubt, you got it correctly.
Oh, good. Now look at me as you're saying
another
that.
Another point. 26 seconds. Broadcasting House starting now.
Some of Radio 4's finest output comes from this exact space. You can listen to the news quiz, Moral Maze, and my own personal favourite, that one about quotations with the man who sounds like he's having a seizure. Can't remember it now, but everything's by G.K. Chesterton, a man who I've never read. Nonetheless, it's put...
Graham John.
Hey. Repetition of man.
Yes, it was.
Yes.
Repetition of man. There are three letters in the word. Three. Only three.
I'm coming right back at you, Norton. Okay. Come on, do your worst.
Correct challenge it was. So 9 seconds, Graham. You tell us something about Broadcasting House starting now.
The theatre of Broadcasting House, where we are right now, makes the audience feel so special. Unless you're in the balcony. In which case...
Well, it's time to me to give you the final score. On this occasion, it's in ascending order, only 1 point separating them all. Lisa Tarbuck, then Sue Perkins, then Graham Norton, and then 1 point ahead, Paul Merton. So we say, Paul, you are our winner this week. But I said only 1 point separated all of them in ascending order, and it just shows you how skilled they are at the game and how much they contribute, and I think you've enjoyed it all. So I give my thanks to all four of them for what they gave in contribution to the show, Paul Merton, Lisa Tarbuck, Sue Perkins and Graham Norton. We thank them, and also I thank Sarah Sharp, who's helped me with the score. She's blown her whistle beautifully after the 60 seconds have elapsed. We thank our producer, Claire Jones. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we're indebted to this lovely audience here in the Radio Theatre in Broadcasting House. Oh. And so, from our warm, responsive audience, and from me, Nicholas Parsons, and our four delightful players of the game, goodbye. Thank you for tuning in. But be with us the next time we play Just a Minute. Yes!